BetOnline, and you can use the code BELIEVE, BLEAV, and get all the information right at your fingertips. If Stoner would have gone out to BetOnline when his Florida Gators were playing against my Oklahoma Sooners, he would have seen that the Florida Gators were underdogs and they were bound to lose that game even when they were up, because Oklahoma has the most comeback victories of any kind. He would have seen that right on his fingertips. All his betting and wagering news would have been right there for him, and he wouldn't have lost his 401k yet another time. But it's all right, because you can go out there, use the code BELIEVE, get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and you can bet on NBA Finals action. Boston Celtics, Dallas Mavericks. You can bet on the NHL action. You got summer sports, golf, tennis, you name it. It's right there for you. Just use that code BetOnline, where the game starts. My man, finishing out the game, bringing up Taylor Heinicke. I cannot with you. I cannot. But I can absolutely answer some of these questions that we have here for mailbag time in the cool down. I'll try to do a better job pushing out mailbag, so that way those of you who listen on your favorite audio platform or follow us on other social media can get your questions heard there. But we do appreciate everybody who joins us live when we do this every Wednesday night here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at 7:30 Eastern for coming in and being a part of the conversation, as it makes things a lot of fun for us. Now, the first one here is from Brian. Will you guys please be here for the New England game? Please, please.
Be where? In New England?
I believe it's a home game.
Okay, so what? What does be here mean?
Be there.
Me being be at the game. Will we be at the game for the New England game?
Well, we have to pick a game that we're all going to go to, that we're going to have the Perrys fly in and all that, and have a game. So we just got to figure out when that is.
And I will say it's going to be unlikely for the Perrys to make it out.
Oh, it is? I thought
it's going to be. It's going to be unlikely. I want to try to be there for a game. But I will say, on top of the fact that it might be unlikely to get us all out there, yeah, it is very unlikely if I do make the trip for a game. It's going to be a preseason game against the New England Patriots.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's just probably not going to be in the books for that. If I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it for a real game. I'm not going to make it for a preseason game. I'm already putting aside some money, so when they make the playoffs, that maybe that's the opportunity for me to come out there. So I am putting some money away for that, but not going to make it back for a preseason game. Not for me.
All right, fair enough.
Albert Haynesworth?
Yeah, someone's joking in the comment section about some of the greats that we've had here. So Stoner saying that we all have to be there. So I ruined it. So no, I meant broadcasting, so I don't have to listen to NBC. Brian clarifying there. We tend to skip preseason games when we do our live.
Well, we do one. Play.
We right? try to do one as a break-in. Is that going to be the one we're going to do?
Might be.
Yeah, might as well.
Might be the New England game. Which is that, the third game?
I believe it is, yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
That's only because of Drake May, Jaden Daniels narrative, and they're each going to play two series and hit the rest
of the game. Probably not even going to play anything. If it's the final game, it's not going
to
be there.
So what, do we really want to go to that game then if they're not even going to dress or play?
Calling the game is going to be the thing there. So, all right. So we'll be here for the 17 regular season games, and we'll probably pick one of the preseason games to call. So, let's move on from that question from Brian, and let's move on to Gus Bus here, who wants us to talk preseason. Please talk about the recently released preseason schedule. Hopefully we see at least two drives of Jaden versus May in the nationally televised final preseason matchup. Not going to happen.
They won't play.
Drake May might play because he's battling for percent, but Jaden Daniels for sure is not playing.
Yeah. I'm going to make a crazy statement that I think might happen, in that Jaden Daniels, and you know what? Watching the NBA playoffs, I have to watch myself every time I say Jaden Daniels' name because I want to say Jaden McDaniels from the Timberwolves, right? And I keep every time I see the dude on the Timberwolves, I'm like, Jaden's playing basketball now too? But here's what I think might happen. Because they have two joint practices, right, with the Dolphins and Jets. They play the Dolphins and Jets in the preseason games. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels might not play a single snap in preseason because he's going to play all those plays against those joint practices. He's going to play all those plays, the joint practice against the Jets. Mm-hmm. And the third preseason game, none of the starters play. He might not play one snap in the preseason, especially if they like what they see, especially if they like what he's been doing.
I saw it in the comment section earlier, right? Talking about Terry McLaurin and his breakout opening game against the Philadelphia Eagles. And it came as a bit of a surprise because during the preseason, you didn't see very much of Terry McLaurin. They knew what they had in Terry McLaurin. And so maybe they do the same thing with Jaden Daniels here, is they know that they've got a guy that don't throw him out there and, you know, start him week one and carry everybody by surprise. I don't think you ice him, Gus Bus. I think that, like Stoner said, is you are seeing him in these workout, you know, these joint sessions, that you don't necessarily need to see him in the game time situation. I do think we'll see him in the first two games. I don't think we're going to see him in the third game. I think that third game is still going to be all of the backups. This is, we're going to see some Sam Hartman, and whether or not he's going to make the roster. That's what you will.
Say. He's making his roster. We ain't released Jake Fromm for nothing. He making the roster.
What about
Great hair.
What about the other guy? The Jeff third
Driscoll,
guy.
He gone.
Yeah, Driscoll.
Driscoll. He gone. He's just the camera.
He's a Florida guy. So be easy. All right, take it easy. Don't be so mean to him. Okay,
he's been
like
on 30 different teams. Florida guy.
Yeah,
we even saw him
play tight end too. By the way. So maybe he plays a little tight end.
Yeah, maybe he pulls the Thomas switch. By the way, Thomas finding his way into San Francisco. So best of luck to
him
out there.
Great fit for Logan in San Francisco.
Earlier,
he ain't gonna be healthy all year, so
probably not.
He's also the third option, so it's not gonna matter.
And he's number 48 right now, so I'm good on that.
Yeah, so Grimjaw earlier was responding to some conversations when we were talking about Joe Witt Jr. in the defense, and some people are talking about Jaden Daniels becoming the Micah Parsons of this defense, and there was some good discussions there, but Grimjaw kind of asking this question that I wanted to pose to everybody. How would Dan Quinn not have a plan for Micah Parsons after he coached him the past 3 years? So let's change it slightly to also just ask, what is Dan Quinn's plan for Micah Parsons?
Easily take him out the game. Not like literally with an injury, but like make him not effective at all whatsoever. Double team him.
Chop block.
Do some things that Micah Parsons does not like or does not handle very well. Get that man flustered. Dan Quinn, as our head coach, going against his former team twice a year, is the biggest cheat code we have of all of the entire season. Just because of where he came from and all that. So he's got a plan. Yeah, how do you not have a plan? Joe Witt Jr. too. He coached. I mean, like, they both, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr., they're ready.
The good point here being made by Gus is that this is the offensive coordinator's job to have a plan. So Dan Quinn doesn't have a plan.
Definitely has a plan that he can implement to Cliff.
Oh, I definitely think those will talk. Joe Witt Jr., Dan Quinn, and Cliff Kingsbury are going to have a sit down and be like, here's Micah Parsons. Here's what we can tell you about how we used him to make him effective, and this is how you can combat that. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can plan all you want, but he's Micah Parsons, and he's going to blow up all those plans.
I think this is perfect from Grimjaw answering his own question here. You just run directly at him. Remember Arizona, San Francisco, in Green Bay game versus Dallas last year. And I think it's important. Micah Parsons is an amazing player. He is a much better pass rusher, in my opinion, than he is a run stopper. Mm-hmm. Not that he's not say he's an ineffective run stopper, but the plan for this should not be the Eric Bieniemy drop back 55 times. This should be the, we're running Brian Robinson. We're running, you know, Austin Eckler. We're running Chris Rodriguez. Just go right at him and try to, you know, avoid the amount of time that Micah Parsons is working around this offensive line to find your franchise quarterback. So that's, that would be my take on that as well. Brian here again with another question. We are prepared for JD5 to be a boon or bust. What if he's neither? What if he is Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, Alex Smith, or someone else?
He is going to be Jaden Daniels. That's who he's going to be. He's not going to be Baker. He's not going to be Deshaun. He's not going to be Allen. Now, he might have some of those traits from all three in his game, but he's not going to be those players.
But what if he's going to be that type of quarterback? What if he's...
Well, those are all different types. Stats. Baker Mayfield is different Watson, and Alex Smith is different than all both two. So,
but I think the point is, guys who are drafted high, but are not,
they're not all time greats, right? They're good.
They're good.
If we can get that season Deshaun Watson threw for 4,000 yards out of Jaden Daniels, okay. If he comes in and does check down Alex Smith, but we're still 6-3 like we were when Alex before he broke his leg, cool. If he's Baker Mayfield, he's gonna be on 4 or 5 different teams. He's just going to be Jaden Daniels. I don't like these three quarterbacks that.
If he's Baker Mayfield, Deshaun, Alex Smith, that's a bust to me. You can't be that as the number two pick. No. You can't be that. I mean, These are all guys who Baker and Deshaun are on their second teams. Alex Smith played for three teams.
Baker's on his third team.
That's right. Baker's on his third team as the number one overall pick. That's a bust for Cleveland when that happens. And you don't, I mean,
there's two Cleveland busts on here, as Baker Mayfield is a bust for them as a draft pick. And Deshaun Watson as a trade target has been an absolute wash for them as well, as he's not been the same. Deshaun Watson that Houston, you know, was excited about. Houston fans were excited, they thought that they had a franchise QB. And some injuries, and then the allegations with the massages sidelined him, and now he hasn't been the same player.
Now he's hurt, trying to come back from the shoulder injury.
Nathan brings up that standard all the time about, are you going to give him a second contract? And none of those guys got second contracts from their original team. Alex Smith did with Sam Plan, but I mean, Baker was signed by Cleveland. He didn't get a second contract with Cleveland.
He was drafted
by Cleveland. He didn't get that second contract. So that's kind of your bar to at least be a franchise guy. But as a number two overall pick, I mean, Baker was a number one overall pick. Alex Smith was a number one overall pick. Deshaun was top 10. He was around 10. But the point is, none of them became their franchise quarterback when they were drafted. No. Jaden McDaniels has to be the franchise guy who has to get that Tua contract, the Jalen Hurts contract, the Herbert, all those guys. He's got to get those.
No, he was 10th overall, by the way.
It was just a guess. I thought it was like 8th, but still, point is,
he was 12th overall.
Okay. The point is, he's got to be special and get that. Yes. $250 million contract, or else it's a bust. Plain and simple. If he has a decent career, like a Kirk Cousins here, that's not good enough for a number two overall pick. So anything less than that, anything less than a second contract is a bust.
Yep.
Yeah. This was a conversation we had before the draft pick when I was high on JJ McCarthy. And I mentioned how he could be like an Alex Smith, and people were telling me that just isn't good enough. Mm. You know, steady hand, not exciting, takes you to playoffs, but not a QB that you see as a difference maker, and that wasn't enough. And so if this is the kind of player that or career that Jaden Daniels has, then I have to agree with those people that isn't good enough, that it would be a disappointment. It's not a bust like Stoner threw out, but it would be disappointing. Plus,
you know, yeah. Well, I mean, kind of nitpicking.
I'm not going to call him a bust if he brings us to the playoffs, you know, 3 out of 6 years or something like that. Whatever Alex Smith did with Kansas City.
So if he doesn't get a second contract, he's a bust. That's what stuff.
But he wasn't drafted by Kansas.
I would agree with that. If he doesn't make a second contract with Washington, I would consider that a bust.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. All right. JG here. Will the Commanders dip back into free agency to address cornerback and left tackle? If so, who are your favorite targets?
I most definitely think they'll dip back into it because you got all these cuts coming once training camp is over. Probably won't be until training camp, but yes, for sure. Donovan Smith is a name. I think Ben Standick put in his report as a possibility. Old Tampa Bay left tackle, Super Bowl champion. He holds a lot, but he's still kind of relatively young and still a pretty good offensive lineman. Cornerback? I think we're going to have to roll with what we got. Or I think
they're kind of okay at cornerback.
Yeah, I think we don't have top names, but I think
you don't have a Sauce Gardner type guy, no, but I think you have players who can play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 100%.
I think they have to. They always will. Even the teams, if a team is set at corner and left tackle, if somebody shakes loose from another organization for contract reasons or whatever, you got to think about picking them up.
For sure.
So they definitely will.
Yeah. I don't think they go for a corner, but I do think that we can expect another tackle to be signed.
Yeah.
And one does find their way onto the free agency. I don't have a name though for JG, right, mainly because I'm not sure who is kind of on the roster who's going to be cut, right? I'm not looking at all the other 31 rosters and seeing who's a guy who looks like they're going to be cut. And because I will say this, I wouldn't be too hyped about who they pick up off of this. Okay. That's right.
As long as they're obviously better than Cornelius Lucas, don't bring somebody in who has to compete with Cornelius Lucas to be left tackle. We need somebody who is going to be left tackle and then Cornelius Lucas.
That's what they should have done 4 months ago.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, that's now you're setting. You might be setting the bar too high, but I mean, people were down on Charles Leno, and this is the kind of player you're going to get here. And I don't even think the guy that they're going to sign is necessarily going to be the starting left tackle.
Yeah,
it's just a left tackle to shore up the, you know, who they have here. So I don't think that would be there. A lot of people loving Stephon Gilmore if he finds his way off, that'd be
older.
Interesting.
I think a very underrated free agent signing was Michael Davis, the corner from the Chargers. I think it's very underrated. He's a guy who's probably going to be, you know, cornerback 2 or 1, however you want to label. He's going to be a starter. Mm-hmm. He's going to be out there at the first team. And I think that's a sneaky, underappreciated signing in the offseason. So keep an eye on him, and he may be the reason why they don't go get a corner.
Sure.
If they do go get a corner, like a Gilmore or whatever, then you can probably, write his script on his way out the door being, you know, he's not the guy, but I like him. I think he's going to be pretty good.
Could still be the second guy. I mean, you just put Benjamin St. Juiced and Forbes on the back burner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Might have to do that too.
All right. Last question for the night here from Deluxe. How many all-time greats does one team have at once? Even great teams only have a max of 2 to 3 concurrently. Agree or disagree?
And I think he also clarified that his all-time greats, he means like on their team, not all-time NFL greats. But
at one current time, and I mean, you look at maybe even just like all pros, right? Or decade teams.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're not going to have, and we've talked about this a lot, you don't have a roster full of the blue chippers, of these guys who are, you know, clearly the best in the league. You have one or two. You know, 3, I think, would be great. Like, that'd be outstanding if you had 3 legit top 5 guys in their position. But then the rest of the players are, you got to have good to great, or even just serviceable.
Yeah. And even if you look at the best teams like the Chiefs, I mean, they probably have four guys who are her team all-time greats, right? They've got, you know, at the positions, at quarter, at tight end, at offensive lineman, at defensive tackle, and at corner. So they've got some guys who are going to be in their all-time greats for their franchise, but they're winning Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit different. But usually most teams, you're right, they have three guys probably who are all-time greats for that organization at one time. Not usually more than that, but we haven't had like three or four all-time greats at one time in forever. I mean, even you can consider Ryan Kerrigan one of those, right? But who did Kerrigan have at the same time? Maybe Santana and Cooley, maybe?
When we're talking all-time greats, I'm not even putting those guys in the top 15 of their position during their playing time.
No, we're talking about for the organization, not for the entire NFL.
Okay, so because I'm looking at it as like all-time greats, NFL all-time greats. Like this guy is going to be wearing a jacket 5 years or sometime after his deal. Maybe. Yeah. Okay, franchise greats. All-time NFL greats is a really high bar. Okay, that's okay. Thanks for the clarification. You did mention that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Ryan Kerrigan was up there. Santana Moss, Cooley,
Clayton Portis. Those guys,
I mean, those guys, they had, there's three to four guys that played at the same time.
And those guys played on fairly decent teams, not big time winning teams, but, you know, around here, they played on winning teams when they were 8-8 or 9-7. Those were like big time seasons around here.
I think this goes back to how we were talking about Tressway being one of Washington's best players over the last decade. And we're literally talking about a punter being one of the best players, the all-time greats. Mm-hmm. And that was our best player in the last decade. That's how bad Washington has had it, both roster-wise and season-wise. That's pretty, I think that says something when we're talking about, oh, they had four or five all-time greats or Washington all-time greats on that, and their best record was a 10-6.
Yeah.
So okay. So I see somebody starred one last question. So I said that was the last question, but somebody,
right,
one more. Trev's always a rebel. Always.
Crying. I am sorry. I missed you guys.
Code Talker did get this in before we hit break. So for the panel, Lamar Jackson hasn't won a conference championship or a Super Bowl. So is he a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely a franchise quarterback, but it is kind of getting to that point almost to where you start to say, okay, look, you gotta win something. You got to get to that
point. You got to win a playoff game because he has won MVP.
Yeah, and he's won a playoff game. Yeah, but he's got to get to the point to where he's winning multiple playoff games, getting to a Super Bowl at the minimum. But a franchise quarterback is different than, all-time greats, too, right? He's a franchise quarterback.
I think that's what's going to end up being the difference maker for Lamar Jackson, right, is if he – I mean, but Dan Marino went to one Super Bowl, and he's considered one of the all-time greats.
Mm-hmm.
So Lamar Jackson can't be there. Right? What's that? Second season, I think.
Yeah. Lamar, he's a franchise quarterback for sure.
Yeah, that's a different bar. It's a different bar. Yeah. Franchise quarterback is somebody that you can put in there and who can get you to the playoffs and hopefully further. Mm-hmm. But you always have that chance. You don't have to worry about that position. So on and so forth. Terry McLaurin's a franchise wide receiver. You don't have to worry about wide receiver one and so on and so forth. But yeah, Lamar is definitely a franchise quarterback.
Second contract pretty big.
Yeah, he did. Contract. He certainly got that.
I think that's probably a bigger factor when you're talking. I think longevity and level of play. Winning is difficult. In the NFL, when Stoner brought up Lamar Jackson having to win a Super Bowl, I think that's a lofty situation for him to do. Because, and that's why I brought up Dan Marino. Went to one Super Bowl, didn't win it, never went back to another Super Bowl, still considered one of the all-time greats because his level of play for as long as he played, especially with one single team, makes him by far one of not just a franchise quarterback, but an all-time great. Lamar Jackson, absolutely a franchise quarterback. And I think Washington would be lucky if Jaden Daniels could have a similar type career, couple MVPs and exciting play. It would be fantastic. Now, I would love to have a, maybe even just Trent Dilfer here who can just win a Super Bowl in our lifetime. But I'd much rather consistent, exciting play. At least that's me. We try to be consistent and exciting. We are consistent by being live every Wednesday at 7:30 Eastern here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that like button for us. Subscribe to the channel. It helps other people find it. Make sure you leave a comment, rating, and review if you're listening to this on your favorite audio platform. We're Ref the District, Nathan Perry, Stoner, Trev here on Ref the District, part of the Believe Network, brought to you by Bet Online and Don't Sleep Energy. And until next time,
Offensive Rookie of the Year, or I'm quitting.
Be a fan.